on the region. Over to you.
With regard to the first question regarding the unauthorized expenditure and why is it being repeated, yes, the department did appear before scope, but there was no condoning of that expenditure that happened. Hence, it's the balance of carried forward from the previous year until that happened. So that is a process that will just happen. So until that happens, it will continue to appear on the, as an unauthorized expenditure on the financial statement. With regards to the question regarding irregular expenditure and the fact that DERPO operates in foreign countries, and in most of these countries there could be one supplier at this post, possibly cannot be done, and do they comply with the exemption? We've always stressed that they can deviate from the prescript, provided that that deviation is properly documented, motivated, and approved by the delegated authority. It's only when that deviation doesn't follow the correct process that we assess it as being irregular. So we do take into account that, for instance, in Africa, probably if you need to buy tires for a car, you're not going to get three suppliers, it's probably only one. You're allowed to deviate, but the deviation needs to follow a process. Once you follow the process, then there's no issue. However, if you don't follow the process, you've not complied with the legislation, and it's classified as irregular. With regards to the issue regarding irregular expenditure of 102 million and whether officials are lacking capacity to perform duties, you would see that part of our recommendation does address the capacity issue, where we're recommending that all officials involved in the procurement process need to be trained. So there is an element of competency that needs to be addressed by people being trained on the required piece to ensure that they understand what they need to comply with. With regards to the question, do you think that they have not improved, you would see that in terms of our overall assessment, we rated as being stagnant with no movement. So the answer to that question is there be no change to the outcomes of the portfolio. We take note of the comment regarding its useful to include the percentage of the irregular against their budget, so we will do that going forward. With regards to the questions regarding can they hedge in terms of the exposure to the foreign exchange fluctuations, the response from the department is that they've requested permission to do this from National Treasury, and National Treasury has come back and said no, they're not allowed to hedge. My colleagues will provide more insight into possible action that they could take from their side. In terms of why is the audit committee green, in terms of our assessment of the audit committee, we assess the audit committee against them promoting accountability and service delivery, to evaluating and monitoring responses to risk and overseeing the effectiveness of the internal control environment, including performance reporting and compliance monitoring. Now remember, the audit committee provides is an oversight body. They are not the body who is responsible for actually doing it. So they can only provide oversight. It is the accounting authority, the accounting officer, and senior management who is responsible for actually doing it. So the fact that we are sitting in a stagnant position similar to the picture where we were at last year, the audit committee, from our assessment that we've performed, they have done what was required of them. The people who are actually responsible for doing it, that is where the real is itself. With regards to the question on FCM, again, similar to the initial one where we, it was mentioned that DUS will operate in the foreign currency, and FCM laws can't apply. Remember, at these missions represent our South African government in the various, in the 124 missions that where they are. And the South African laws are required to be complied with. And as I mentioned earlier, they are allowed to deviate, but the deviation should follow a process. It's only once that process isn't followed do they fall into the category of being irregular expenditure. With regards to the issue on the key controls in terms of financial and performance management being led and governance being lean, in the sense of that, it comes down again in terms of the structures under the governance is more the oversight, the various divisions that provide oversight over the activity. They are not the people who are actually doing it. So for instance, there are risk management activities that facilitates risk assessments, there's fraud prevention plans, there's a risk strategy. So while all of those structures are there, it can't be now said that the department is failing in terms of financial and performance management, so everybody along the line should then be there to cross. We assess each structure in terms of what is their role in terms of the overall control environment. That informs our assessment of that. So you are going to see the colors being different.
Thanks, Kumari. Chair, I will just add a few answers to what Kumari has just given. And I think, as Kumari has said, if you look at, for example, the WeHatch, the transportation structure, and I use the specific reference that the member has actually put forward on the IT governance and the IT system controls. When you look at the IT governance, there we're looking at the IT governance framework on whether the IT governance framework does capture all the requirements that should be looked at in terms of the risk committees, everything else that comes with that. So governance framework is a framework that the entity puts in place to say this is how we manage our IT environment. Then when you go to the IT systems control, then that's where now we look at the formal control that deals with the liability, availability, accuracy, and protection of that particular information. For an example, in the IT governance framework, it will say you will have a system that will protect your operating system, and that system will be called the firewall, I'm making an example. Now, that is in the IT governance framework, but then we need to go and see whether that firewall is there and it is working. So it's the document part, and then the implementation, the preparation, the review, and the design part. So it's two separate issues that we deal with there. Hence, you see that there's different assessments when it comes to that. It also talks to the other issues. Another example, when you look at whether the leadership has actually implemented policies and procedures, you might find that, yes, there are policies and procedures, but those procedures, those policies and procedures, when you go to the ground, they are not applied to the last stores. That is a different ballgame altogether. Yes, the policy is there, but the implementation is an issue. So that's where the separation kicks in. Then on the issue of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, first of all, in terms of what is fruitless, what is irregular, what is unauthorized, it's a terminology that comes from the National Treasury. The AG did not come up with the terminology, first of all. What we then do is we sit with the department and say, if this has happened under the circumstances, what led to this particular scenario? And it involves a lot of debate and discussion before it can actually be said that it is fruitless and wasteful. Then the department will actually prove in certain instances that, you know what, this was unavoidable. Then we live with that. In some instances, they say, you know what, if there was actually a way of avoiding this expenditure, therefore, it's on our part to get us to poor planning or anything like that. That's why we have this particular type of expenditure. Then that's how we actually assess it. But we don't just take figures and then say this one is the ring, this one is the low. It's through a formal debate and discussion, and in some instances, the department will convince us through supporting documentation, relevant supporting communication among even the parties involved in that particular transaction to say this is what has happened in that area.
Chair, the one issue that I wanted to talk to, and which Kumari spoke to very well, was the issue of the SCM. In that environment, the PFMA does allow you to look at the circumstances that you're operating in, and it says if it is not feasible for you to actually follow the proper procurement process, you will deviate. But then in deviating, it gives them an instruction. For you to deviate, you'll have the following 1, 2, 3, 4 in place. Then the memo being one of those where it says you will have documented reasons on why are you actually deviating, and that needs to be approved. Once that is approved, when we come and post us, we always request for the register of deviation. Then if something has been deviated and it's not on the register, then we start asking those questions. There is a deviation there, but it's not on the register. Why? Then in some instances, we find the reason. In some instances, if it is due to poor planning or things like this, then we end up asking, you know what, if there was no reason for it to deviate, we go ahead for the proper procurement process. Then the conclusion gets to that level. On the issue of effective leadership and culture, Chair, that talks to when we look at that, the assessment that we do, we look at things that, if for an example, the leadership provides a platform for creating policy, a platform for creating action plans, a platform for creating risk assessment, that's what we normally look at. We don't say, because the department is a red professor in one of the rates. The leadership might be doing something, which is what I have separated earlier on. The difference between the two blocks is that, on one part, we're talking about the enabling environment, but then on the other part, we're talking about the implementation part, where things need to be implemented in order to function, in order for things to be able to root out the issues. For an example, you see the risk management there, it's clear. The department does have a document that talks to the risk. Does have a document that says this is how we solve the risk and issues like those. But when you look at the implementation of those things contained in that particular document, it becomes a difference. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I want to make follow-ups. Start with Honorable Faculty.
Yeah, thank you for the explanation, but I really wanted to ask if ever we can just get some understanding in relation to the division issue, because the Auditor General says that there should be a process that should be followed when there are some deviations, despite of the motivation, but I really wanted just to hear the sense what steps or the processes should be followed so that we can really to be able to be in the law. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm still going to let's back on the issue of the unauthorized expenditures. Comrade Chairperson, the unfortunate passing on of the contract of the Republic is something which no one could have foreseen. And in the African culture, we could not budget for that. It's not possible. Otherwise, you will be deranged if you could have done that. Yeah. But what I'm worried is that these things will keep coming on again. Because it means that if this thing, the COPA didn't approve that, it means that next year it should still be here. And we know that that expenditure was not fruitless. It was not fruitless. It attained the purpose in which it was supposed to be. So what advice can you give us in moving forward so that this thing cannot come back? Because it is like an albatross around the department's neck. And then number two, Chairperson, I'll go to the issue of asset management. It is true that the issue of assets were raised last year, And then what will demand from the South Africa Department now? We are going to demand the asset register. We have to demand the asset register so that we know what is what it is.
Hmm.
But what I don't see here coming from the side of the AG is that an asset has got a certain value of money attached to it. But I don't see anywhere where the issue of maintenance is dealt with. Because, say, for example, you can go to South Africa House in London. It's very huge, very expensive. But nowhere does we see the issue of maintenance of the asset. That in that area, the auditor general was interested in. Because I think that one of the things we have to do is to preserve the values of the assets that we're having. So I don't see anywhere worth speaking about the issue of maintenance. When I engaged the department previously, they said that they were given the mandate to maintain the assets. But they were not given the requisite financial resources to do that. What is the take as the AG's office? Because it means that if those assets are not maintained, their value is going to drop. It's going to drop. So it means that we'll not be using the resources of the country effectively. And then the last one, Chair, on the issue of key officials' lack of appropriate competencies. It comes there as if this is a new area in which we are addressing. Was the department alerted about this new area? Because I think it's a red. Was it alerted when you go to the new area? Thank you, Chair.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. There is one follow-up question in the relatively new one. First of all, I'm trying to find out the practicality of conducting the survey. Probably your shorthand and form. But we cannot call the director general and say, okay, you have unauthorized. A good example is this one that Honorable Khadim is talking about. If you are still going to have the burial of Mandela, that's still unauthorized. What criteria do you use for? I mean, because the president refusing to adopt it, or why is it still there? Why is it regarded as an unauthorized inspection? We've got to know what is genuinely unauthorized inspection, and you know what in fact is not, but according to your terminology, that could be inspection unauthorized. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, you don't have to respond to everything else because I want us to just complete my question. And just by way of comment, I think we should welcome the recommendations that you have made to the committee that it can engage the department on. Members will add to these ones that you have recommended.
Mm.
Just one or two observations and perhaps a question. A department like this one, which has obtained a finding and qualifications in 2 years, 13 and 14, 14 and 15 now, on asset management. Just in your separate opinion, do you think they have or they will ever have the requisite capacity in terms of number to send a person or persons into all of their missions to verify everything that is there, and or whether there was an asset register that needs to be updated because we've been with the world for a long time. So there must be plates and street schools and some are getting lost, plates are getting broken and all of those things. Do they have the capacity? Or do you want to recommend that they should have a commission and outfit? The consultants, just the once off. To then say, as in 2015, this is what they have. Then we audit from there. Otherwise, this matter, I suspect, will stay with them. And of course, and that question I thought is irrelevant, is whether you yourself would have the capacity to travel to all the 126 to make a fair assessment that indeed there was a peaceful year and it's no longer there. Neither can the committee do that. Now, that does not mean they must not have an asset register. Does not mean that they must not update it. It does not mean that they must not punish a person who steals, for example, breaking is another thing, who may be stealing this asset. And having served as an MEC in a certain province somewhere, I know that between 94 and 99, we discovered a lot of state assets, particularly of public works, by way of buildings that could not be accounted for. And the next thing we discovered that these were in various countries. And some of the assets were the craters, the motor cars, and after an investigation, they were discovered elsewhere, after 7 years. That's the report we got. So, point I'm making that with it, 21 years of democracy, now we need to keep on with the environment and like that. But you may comment, you may not comment on that one. Then the issue about the official, it seems there are two things that must happen in the department. One is that there must be decisive leadership and consequence management, it must be effective, etc. But the issue about training, whether it is training that refers to different levels, or is it training that at least refers to asset management, or it also refers, and or it will also refers to the corporate sales manager in the center, in the embassy, about these responsibilities they have, asset management, that. And you may find that they were not paid for that. Are we specific so that we say to the department, your people who are in the following responsibility, this group or this number are not appropriately trained. But this one, it is because you are not firm on them. You are not taking action against them.
Yeah. From my side,
I'm fine. Sadly.
Sorry, I was running to other meetings, but clearly things that were shown up last time were not dealt with. Has it worsened the situation? You know, so we're obviously repeating those same things. Have other things fallen down? Are we better in other areas? As an overall sort of view, clearly these things have to be addressed and they're not being addressed, so we've got to look into that. But generally, everywhere else, and then as you're saying, it's a sort of something that hangs around. Once it's happened, until it's written off or whatever, it's going to hang around there. So now, putting that aside and we're looking at everything else, is the department performing any better generally in other ways, or is everything kind of moving in a downward direction?
Over to you, but
then
less time now.
Yeah. Just I'll try and cover as much issues as possible in the interest of time. But just have to perhaps put this in context. Chair, when we audit and we report, we look at the compliance with the standards with National Treasury prescribed by the department, the compliance method there too, as well as the PDO. So all these are National Treasury documents. And when we give an opinion to say the department has complied, it's on the work that we've looked at on whether this department has complied with what Treasury has said. Contained in the requirements of Treasury is a matter on how to deal with unauthorized expenditure. It says for every unauthorized expenditure, the department needs to seek condonation thereof. For as long as it is not condoned, it will continue to be disclosed as such. So for us, the only time we're not going to select that matter is when it is condoned and it's out of the books. So from the side of saying what is it actually done, Chair, I think from my honest view is that a chair might want to perhaps have, you know, a separate chair with the chair of SCOFA so that this matter can be put to bed earlier or sooner than later. Because once that is done, that's the only process that I'm getting. And by the way, an authorized expenditure does not necessarily mean engaged, that's wasteful or anything like that. That's not the impression that it's giving. It is defined in the Treasury document what it is and what results in that. That would be an authorized one. Then the issue of which side do we fall on where Treasury says this. The good thing that is in the PFMA is the issue of if you do not have time in the emergency, how do you deal with it? And we talk to the issue of the deviation that the member are here on. It says if you are about to deviate for whatever reason, it gives a number of reasons, emergency, agent, sole service provider, there's a lot of reasons and there's a lot of details that are. It gives you this step. It says you will have a reason documented. Why are you wanting to deviate? Why can't you go out to the market? And what is the value of the service that you want to actually procure? And all those other and all those reasons need to be put onto one document and then taken to the next level for approval. Once it is approved, you go ahead. Precisely for the sake of saying that at times things happen when you least expect it and you need to respond. So it's there, it's in the PFMA, it just needs to be followed. And once it there is followed, we're going to cheat and say the department has complied with the requirements of the Treasury and we're going to report as such. Then on the issue of whether the department has worsened or what, I don't think
I think from the OLI perspective, if you look at the document, which is the briefing note, page 3, we said there is a lack of improvement in the overall audit outcome. That is only as far as we can go in giving a comment. But our engagement with the department is only limited to the OLI engagement process, where we're looking at the leadership in line with what they put in for the financial management processes leading to year end. Because what is to happen is, the department gets a budget from Parliament. In spending that budget, in order for them to perform or deliver on their mandate, they need to spend that while they comply with the relevant laws and regulations. Hence, when we report, we say, the financial statement fairly presents, but in the process of spending, the department didn't comply 1, 2, 3, 4, or they didn't meet outline precisely what they've done in terms of their performance. So we limit it to that as well. So it's just our issue of then limiting what we say to what we've body get. Whether the things are falling apart, that's another debate. We don't have evidence to suggest it. We can't give comment on that.
Thank you, Vali. The next item is a presentation by the PME. CCG Rachebe.
Yeah. I don't like this one.
Honorable Dadley, I want you to come with your nation. And I know your chief in Dona is Mukhalama. And it doesn't pay tax.
Okay.
Ozani, it must be organized then, because there must be order during the presentation. For the necessary respect to the CPMP. Baba Oratere, sing our love.
Thank you very much, sir. I forgot to say that we assumed that the letter that got to our minister was not really a request by the director that we should have kept. So and we did comply. That's what normally happens. We have two presentations. The one, as I said earlier, is on management practices of departments. The second thing here will deal with the presentation.
Report, which is going to be comprehensive.
in terms of figures, in terms of programs achieved and everything. Already the DSPME are saying they had issues with their African American funds because they could not get figures, while the department will be having those figures. So I think they can give us the briefing that is specific to us from their side, which is this one. This one, that one is relevant. But this one, the information, we're going to have it from the
company. We draw a lot from there,
and also the disclosure act and the Bajan Pahia act and those type of things. So just to give you, I'm going to talk a bit later on sports, and I will say somebody's a 2 and somebody's a 3 and a 4 and a 1, and just to explain to you what our ratings mean. Everything that we ask departments to do is prescribed, or everything we ask them to do at levels 1, 2 and 3 is already prescribed in some legislation somewhere. So we did not introduce any new standards or nothing. So if somebody is sitting at 1, we're basically saying we can't find any evidence that this department even know what they're supposed to do, because we can't find any evidence that they're doing something about it. And we do find it quite often when we introduce new standards that people are not always aware of what they're supposed to do in different areas. Level 2 is for us where we can start seeing evidence that if each department knows what they're supposed to do, they're working towards compliance. So what it means, they've got some drafts and those things in place. We also do pick up, if we assess a department and we see a lot of departments sitting at, lots of their scores are sitting at 2, we will start questioning whether the management of the department is playing their part. Because what happens to be at level 3 is you're going to have approved plans, approved reports, policies, all those things in place. And we do sometimes see in departments where corporate service is doing their jobs, they're coming up with all the plans, policies and those things, but management of the department is not according to it. So 3 for us is where we have compliance, and it can be what we call malicious compliance. So people have the paperwork and all the capacity in place to perform. And then level 4 for us is where we can really start seeing evidence where the department is using their compliance information to actually manage the department, the department. And so as you'll see, we ask for a lot of whether they have implementation reports, whether management in a department engages with that implementation report, take decisions to unblock blockages and those type of things. And then that's I think the logic why we require departments to do all these things. Just to also mention, we are busy working on version 2 of impact, also based on our evaluation, and we will start looking more at performance types of measures as well. But it will only be performance measures based on the areas that we select. We are a bit hesitant, wary at the moment to come up with an overall judgment of a department's performance. But I think we're also working towards that one. So again, for us, our measure of success is whether people are taking ownership and are at least aware and know about their management administrative responsibilities. Because we have in the past sort of conveniently shoved the administrative responsibilities onto corporate services and said they must do it. So that's what MPAT is about and what we aim. Just to also say, when we now give you the final score, the final score has gone through quite a rigorous process. It went through a moderation process where we have independent moderators and policy people as well as implementer specialists in the areas. And then we give it the results back to the department to give them an opportunity to challenge us and to try and get to the score that actually reflects the situation in the department. We'd love everybody to be forced, but we understand not everybody will be forced. But we want to have a good score that reflects the actual situation. So we do quite a lot of back and forth and all those things. And apologies, I think the slide it has been approved by Cabinet. We're just busy trying to secure dates to have an official launch and publish the results. Again, just to also mention that for us, MPAT is a developmental tool. It's a tool that we want departments to use to improve themselves. So it's not so much an auditing tool in that. But I think our survey has indicated that about 97% of the villages do feel it's a tool that they can use to improve with. Just to quickly share with you our theory of change. Basically, like I said, we develop standards, how to measure the public service. We have this theory in our head coming from a monitoring department that whatever gets measured gets done. So then we devise a system to measure. Then we require the department to go through a whole self-assessment, to assess themselves and come up with their own scores. And quite that one is crucial because, again, it's about ownership. It's about them admitting they have a problem. And I just look at some of the department's assessments and the final score, and it seems the department are quite open for their own problems. There wasn't much changes from self to final. So then once they know where their problems are, we do require them to come up with improvement strategies, how they're going to improve, how they're going to fix it. But we also, we don't leave them alone, because we can, through our analysis, identify who's good. And we try and get people to partnership, disseminate our learning to those things, so that they can use the learnings to help them improve and go forward. So like in 30-day payments, we have found Department of Social Development, Northern Cape, pays all their suppliers within 5 days. And now we've done extensive case studies on them, and we take them all over the country to explain to other people how it's done. And just to mention, all our standards that we are measuring, there are departments that are at level 4. So it is definitely possible, it's definitely achievable to get to that level. And then we say, if you're going to do your improvement plan, you will improve management practices, and then we assume that through improving management practices, you will improve the performance of your department, and eventually we improve a better life for all. So again, please, impact, we don't assess outcomes, we don't assess impacts and those things. That's what our colleagues and other colleagues in DPME does. So we only look at management practices, but we're saying the logic is slow. And we have numerous examples where we failed in service delivery where there was failure in administration. So the textbook target, the ARVs, all those things point back to some failure in administration, supply chain and those type of things. So that's why we feel it's very important. It's a enabler for you to deliver. Not to say, not a guarantee that you will deliver if you do your admin well, but probably the inverse is probably also true. If you're not going to administer, manage your department well, you're probably going to run into some problems or failure. So now you will have the scorecard for the department. Just how to read that scorecard. So you'll see you have the 2012, 13, 14 scores. And just to mention, we do not assess the financial year. We take a snapshot of what the department looks like as of 30 September every year. So not, unlike the audit general, we don't look at a financial year. We say, what was the situation like in 30 September? We do September because we wanted to feed into the planning cycle for the next year. So if they pick up problems, identify problems, they come up with plans to fix it in the following year. So the next column that says changes from 13 to 14 will just give you a sense of which of the standards have gone up and which has gone down or stayed the same from the previous year. And I have to mention that yes, we do change the standards on an annual basis. Again, for us, it's about continuous improvement, so we will keep on raising the bar. So this assessment is assessing you against the standards set for that year. And yes, I know departments don't like it. They're a bit uncomfortable that we continuously raise the bar, but for us it's important that we continuously improve and get better. Then you will have the second last column, which talks about RSA average score. That just gives you a sense of how the rest of the public service is doing in this specific standard. And then you can see